Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. The heat hadn't got me yet.
Don't say that too soon.
I know the next day I'll be too hot.
I know it.
They keep saying, don't go out for very long.
No.
I say, okay, I'll be glad to. You know, I mean, who wants to go out in the hot sun?
It's dangerous. And before long, and of course, now that you've said it, there's something bad that's going to happen, I'm sure. It's just not going to be. Yeah. So.
And I want to mention that everybody should fill up their cars.
Oh.
The other day, somebody borrowed mine and didn't fill it up. And the rule is, if you borrow somebody's car, you doggone sure fill it up.
Yes.
You don't take it back empty.
No.
You know, nobody wants an empty car.
No.
And it's impolite.
I'm assuming they're probably not your friend anymore.
Not hardly. Not after that. I mean, I wouldn't do that to anybody.
No.
No.
That's...
And if you notice, it's that time to buy tires again.
Yep.
It just amazes me that all of a sudden the tire people say, uh-oh, you have to have four tires. These are not safe. And you go, really? What about that? And then you ask them, okay, what is your price today? And they say, well, which brand?
Oh, geez.
And you say, you know, we want a standard American brand. We do not want a Chinese tire, please.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, we don't even know the names of Chinese tires. I mean, you know, we can't pronounce them anyway. I would never buy something I can't even pronounce.
Yeah. So now you got to go buy tires.
That's right. That's next on the list.
That's how they get you.
I know. And Michelin and Pirelli is the most expensive, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Pirelli's great, though.
Yeah. And then you come down. If it's your children's tires, you buy Firestone or Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you come on down, and they still are good for 65,000 miles. So it's still a good tire. It's just not a name brand like we're used to.
Yeah. And they'll last that long if you take care of them, if you rotate them. But if you don't rotate them and then they have all that wear, they'll go down in a big hurry.
That's right. And most of the time we've always bought Michelin because they're really a long wearing car. And not only are they a good tire, but it seems like they perform better than the other tires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really good. I mean, it's amazing how car, what do we call, maintenance or care or upkeep or whatever you want to call it, has changed so much. They used to say to change your oil, what was it, like every 3 miles or 3,000 miles? And now I think some of them say, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 miles, and it's all changing. So I don't know if they figured out, hey, we can make better products that'll last longer, or the other thing that kind of that makes me curious is that I wonder sometimes if they made things that will last longer and then had to break them so that we would replace them. Because it doesn't make sense that you would have to, if they would say, oh, it's much longer now between oil changes. You know, like the light bulb. When they invented the light bulb, that thing would last forever. And then they had to break it so that people would buy more light bulbs because they realized that when you sell the first light bulb and nobody's coming back to buy more because they don't need them.
So. And then we didn't have a choice on light bulbs, remember?
Yeah.
All of a sudden they said, we're discontinuing this kind. You will have to buy the other kind. And they cost more.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody cared. They didn't care what consumers thought. It was, we have to do this. And I don't think they did. I liked the light bulbs, the standard light bulbs.
Yeah.
But you can't buy those now. They're outlawing them.
Yeah. Now you have to get the little curly, whatever those are. I can't remember what they're called. But yeah, light bulbs have changed. So that's how they get you.
That's right. It's like everything else. But it's do as I say, not as I do.
Yes, exactly. So
yeah, it's much easier to do it that way.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So what are the highlights from this week? What's happening?
Okay,
what's
well,
on?
We're working on some policies, naturally. We're having deals come in, maturities, and they're all new maturities. You know, they're not old ones, but they're like from 22, 23. And we've had several of those come in. And we paid one this week again. And the green one paid this week. It seemed like we had to wait a little longer on it. But all of them have come in, all four now, have paid out. So it's like a little over $4 million.
Oh, wow. That's intense.
So everybody made good money. The money went in their bank. And I had one guy that took some out of his. And that happens every once in a while. Somebody hadn't had money in their pocket in a while. And it's free money, they think, you know, because it's been invested a couple of years. So they'll say, I want 100,000 or I want 125 out. And they'll go spend it. One guy bought a new RV with part of his money.
Oh, wow.
I didn't ask him how much it cost, but knowing him, I'm sure it cost a lot.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Especially if you get one of those loaded, decked out RVs. My goodness. Have you seen some of those lately?
I saw one. I didn't know what it cost, but it looked spectacular.
Oh, my word. Those things have gotten more luxurious than I remember ever before.
Well, you know, used to, they started out plain and just, you know, a vehicle type thing and a bed, and that's about it. And now they're nicer than a lot of people's homes.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I mean, the finishes, the appliances, the room, the features, the fancy electronic gadgets. I mean, TVs come up out of the floor, and the I mean, it's just,
that's right.
Yeah,
and the beds are spectacular.
Oh my word! Yes,
you no longer sleep in bunk beds or twin beds.
No,
it's luxury all the way.
Yeah. I mean, I was shocked. I saw some of those a couple of weeks ago. There was actually a show. And so I had traveled and gone to the show, and then I'd seen some pictures on the internet, and I thought, wow, I'm amazed. I mean, they were always kind of nice, you know, but just the luxury now, I'm shocked. So congratulations to him for getting an RV. Is he going to like traveling and things like that all over the place?
Oh, I'm sure he is. You know, a lot of our people are retiring right now. Some of them have already retired. And they were holding off on those luxury items. And now it's go for it, you know.
Yeah.
They're going to travel. They're going to have fun. And hopefully stay married if they're that close together.
That's an awful tight space to be in. So if
that's
you don't
right.
you don't get along, or if you get on each other's nerves easily, that's not the way to go.
That's right. I mean, sometimes you need separate quarters.
Yes. You need a little space every once in a while.
That's right. They do. But yeah, as you thought about it, people work all their lives, and they're gone from each other all day long. And then suddenly you're in a cramped space with a beloved, and sometimes it gets a little too much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cause I mean, if you're together all day, all night, and what are you going to talk about?
Exactly. You better come up with some, because after, you know, 40, you know, years of, you know,
it's
basically
a long time.
It's a long time. Yeah. I mean, you know, the husband has his life, the wife has her life, and all of a sudden you're in a room and what are you going to do? So I'm not
That's
used
exactly
to this.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so
separate vacations might be a good idea.
Yeah.
It'll keep you married.
Keep you from clawing each other's eyes out.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And you know, I hate to say this, but we've had three or four couples actually get divorced in the last year.
No.
You wouldn't think so.
Really?
I never knew anything about their private life, but it hit me kind of hard. When several people said, well, Faye, we're getting a divorce. And I go, holy cow, how can this happen?
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that. That's sad, especially after all these years. Jeez.
That's what amazes me. If you've been married 25, 30 years, And then he suddenly said, you know, I don't like you very much. That's not very nice.
No, that's kind of brutal.
And I read a story where this husband had criticized his wife all those years. And the final straw was she made an apple pie. He looked over at that and he said, you don't even know how to cut up the apples. And that did it. She divorced him. He said, you know, if I don't even know how to cut up apples, I don't think you need to be married to me.
Oh, no. Oh, that's
That'd be
terrible.
The craziest thing. For the craziest reason, you can't even cut up apples.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I wonder if that was on the filing papers. Reason for divorce, can't cut up apples.
I wouldn't doubt it. But I know it came back to him later.
Wow.
And he wanted to come home, and she said, no way.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
It
I'm
is.
Sorry
if
to hear
somebody
that.
Can't cut up apples, you don't need to be married to me.
No. And I'm surprised it took so long to figure that out.
It took all those years, 20-something years. And I guess he'd been saying it too much. And it just, the straw broke the camel. She just said, no, I don't think so. You
wow.
know, if I can't even cut up an apple. And, you know, he should have thought of all the good apple pies she'd made.
Yeah. I mean.
But he didn't think of that. I don't know why a man would say that to their wife.
I don't know.
I mean, that's fighting words.
It is. I mean, those are fighting words. I mean, you don't criticize, especially, I mean, after it's like, okay, it couldn't be just that. Clearly, it was years and years of other things that built up. It's just odd that something so small and so insignificant would be the final straw.
It tipped it over. That's all it was. I guess it just hurt so much all those years.
Oh.
And then he said that, and she saw, you know, I've worked myself to the bone making apple pies. And, you know, he doesn't even appreciate them. And so he needs to go away somewhere.
Wow.
But the bad thing was he finally realized what an idiot he was. And there wasn't any going back.
Yeah.
He just laughed and said, no, I don't think so.
At that point, it's too late.
It's too late. You've insulted her one time too many.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no going back after that. Golly, that's so sad. I mean, I know we joke, but I mean, it's really sad.
It is sad. And there ought to be something everybody could do about it. Like, you know, maybe a little not together all the time. You know, go do something else and kind of relax and at the end of the day, go see each other. And maybe you'll feel different, feel better about it.
Yeah. Jeez. I don't know. Maybe it's a sign for all of us to kind of step back a little bit and maybe appreciate some of the little things, because at some point when those little things that get on our nerves aren't there, we'll miss them. We always do.
You'll miss them a lot.
Yeah.
And you'll remember the good times. You'll remember when you were younger, how much in love you were and what you did for each other, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't do too much for the other person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you think you can, but you can't. And that's what makes each other special, when you go out of your way and said, you know, I think this would be nice. And the other one says, you know, I think I could do this for that one.
Yeah.
And now we have the marriage counselor, Faye Bagby.
See, there's something else you can put in your bag of tricks.
We can put that. Let's put that in the resume, okay?
Today we'll change the name of the show to Your Marriage with Faye Bagby.
That's right. So if you need counseling, Faye will handle that.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
A good thing that those people didn't get an RV, because there's no place to storm off to and slam a door.
Yeah, I mean, where do you go? Right out the door on the highway?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be a tough deal.
Pull over and get out.
That's right.
Oh, no. That's terrible. Well, I'm
we
glad,
are
though.
Bad.
We are bad. I'm glad, though, that, you know, people are getting out and doing some of the things, except for the people getting divorced. I'm glad that people are doing the things that they've wanted to do, you know, get an RV, go around the country, travel, just kind of like whatever.
Eat a lot
whatever.
Of ice cream.
Oh, that's the best.
You know,
ice
they
cream.
Could try the ice cream in every state. And everybody has a different opinion. And I would think that just plain old vanilla would be the favorite. It's not.
It's
I
not.
noticed that several states pick strawberry.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises me. I didn't know that.
It surprised me, shocked me. And the brands they have across the country, it's not all Bluebell. You know, because we all love Bluebell, we think it's all over the country. But a lot of states have a brand I never heard of. And they say, oh, everybody in that state loves that brand.
Mm.
And it told about how much cream it had, how many eggs it had, you know, and whether it was real cream or whether it was a substitute.
Oh, my word.
Oh, yeah. So everybody loves ice cream.
Yeah.
But it was different kinds and what brand they liked and what was the best.
I don't think I could live in a state that didn't have Bluebell.
I don't think I could either, because we're used to it. It's rich. It's great. It doesn't have a lot of this artificial stuff in it.
Yeah, it really tastes homemade. So I think that's
it. It does.
Yeah,
and it's remember how many years they've been doing it right down here at Brenham.
Oh yeah, I mean it's like Bluebell is, and I don't say this just because of where we live, but one of my favorite flavors is the Texas Two Step. Because it's got all the cookies in it, the cookie dough and the cookie pieces.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Cookie dough is good for you. All ice cream is really good for you, okay?
Cookie dough is good for you.
That's right. And strawberries are good for you. You know, all of them are good for you.
Wow.
In fact, my doctor told me the other day, eat more ice cream.
Oh, really? I need to switch to your doctor.
That's right. He said either that or peanut butter. Well, I'll stick with ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah. We made peanut butter, homemade peanut butter sauce a couple weeks ago to put on ice cream. It's like sweetened condensed milk and then a cup of peanut butter. And you, I don't know, you put it on the stove and you warm it up and you mix it and then you put a little vanilla in it or something. I don't know. I'm sure you could Google the recipe, but we made homemade peanut butter sauce for ice cream. It's fantastic. Wow.
I never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
I would have thought of chocolate sauce, strawberry, you know, butterscotch, but I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah, it's delicious. You should look up the I can't remember exactly what went in it, but that was basically it. It was easy. It took like 5 minutes to make it. It was no trouble at all.
I love 5 minute deals.
Yeah.
You know, where you can make something and eat it right away.
Me too. Me too. And you know how I love ice cream like you do. I always loved chocolate ice cream, but for some reason, the ice cream that you get that's already made chocolate, it's never the same. And then my wife finally taught me that you start with vanilla and then add chocolate syrup to it and then stir it up. And it's much better. It's much less bitter. And then we tried it and I'm like, I'll be. I never understood that. I didn't know that.
You didn't realize that. How they were making it, did you?
No, I had no idea. Uh-uh. No. So, well, now that we've talked about everything except money.
That's right. I mean, ice cream comes first, of course. And marriage counseling is important.
We've talked about recipes. The best diet, doctor recommended, cookie dough is good for you. Ice cream, marriage counseling. We've covered a lot.
That's right. That's right. I mean, where can you tune in and get this much information on this many subjects, you know?
Wow. You're going to get phone calls on Monday, I'm sure.
People would call and say, what's this about the marriage counseling? Folks, it was just a joke, I assure you.
Yeah,
it was just a joke.
We're kidding. And we're
really kidding about what you ought to do.
People should hear what we talk about before the show, because we don't even talk about money before the show starts. We're talking about everything under the sun, except that we'll chit-chat for a while before the show starts. And so people think this is off topic. They ought to hear that sometime.
That's right. Well, remember, we only spend a few minutes on that.
That's true. That's true. We'll say that. That's what we'll tell people.
Yeah, okay. We only spend a few minutes on it. They know that's not true.
Yeah, they know that's a lie.
Yeah.
So,
well, let's start off with, let me tell you, this man called this week, and he had a panic attack. And I'm sure he's getting a divorce. I just believe that. Anyway, he wanted to know how to split up his money. And I said, well, let me look it up. I looked it up and I said, you can't split it. He said, why not? I said, because it's 100% in policies. I said, if you and somebody else, whoever it might be, wants to divide everything up, you give her half of the policies and you take half, which is the perfect way to do it. And so he was shocked to know that, you know, he couldn't just walk away and take his half the money. I said, well, what about your policies? He said, well, I hadn't thought about that. I said, they haven't matured. I said, remember, you don't get paid till the maturity happens. And he's had a bunch of maturities. And he never had thought about it because I guess things were going pretty good. And they're obviously not going good now. So then I had to go back over, tell him how much he's going to make on each policy, how much he'd already been paid, and put in his bank account with us. So then he understood, you know, and I don't know why he forgot, but he just forgot that, you know, he couldn't get all that money till he got all his policies finalized, you know, through. Anyway, I just had my suspicions about how that was going.
Oh, no. That's, I know you get a lot of calls from people asking about, you know, policies and, you know, investing advice and, you know, planning for retirement, all that. That's not the kind of call that you want to get, though. That's...
Well, you know, they don't remember how much they've got coming, you know, and so they, therefore they don't know how, what they're worth.
Yeah.
So you have to go over it and show them what their policies are worth, what the profit is, and, you know, they're going to get paid at a certain time. And then he understood that, you know, he got paid when they matured and he'd forgot. But anyway, we got it straightened out for him.
Is it, and I'm sure this is probably not a very common thing, but since it kind of came up, I'm just, I guess, curious, is it best or a good idea, or would you recommend that maybe people, even husbands and wives, maybe instead of going into policies, maybe together, would it be a good idea for maybe if the husband is in three policies, maybe the wife is in three policies or like their own policies?
Most accounts, it's fine the way it is. Unless there's a problem, you don't need them separated. And over the years, we've had people that needed it separated. And we had one guy that he asked me to recommend which policies to give her. And I did. And he and I were kind of giggling. We thought we'd given him the best policies. And 2 months later, this policy matured, and she got $165,000.
Oh, wow.
And we were laughing at ourselves. We said, we're so smart, you know. He didn't want to help her out too much. And we did help her out. I mean, that's what we get for doing it that way.
Yeah, there you go. So,
and, you know, you just never know.
I know we've talked in the past about, you know, if, I don't know, like the husband, say, passes away and the wife is there and she's, you know, she'll come to you and she'll say, okay, the husband passed away. What policies are we in? What do we do? Do you run into that often, or do most people share what's going on with their spouses?
Most people know. And the other thing is, it's all on the computer and we can just pull it off the computer, show them everything they've got, how many maturities they've had, what is going on with their policies. And, we can remind them how long they are, how much profit they've had, how much they've got in escrow. The whole thing's on the computer at Nevada Trust. Nothing is handwritten, or there's never a time when we don't know. Because remember, all money is kept at Nevada Trust. They handle all the paperwork. They're the trustee on every account. And that's what protects us, is we don't have some outside firm, you know, got their hand in the till.
Yeah.
We use a reputable bank, and then we have CPAs, you know, the whole deal.
So then let me ask you the million-dollar question. Pardon the pun. Sorry, I didn't mean to phrase it like that. Is there anything that people should do in case something like a divorce comes up? Is there, or doesn't it even matter? Is it not a thing? Or how does, I don't know.
Well, if you have a trust or something like that, if you want some safeguards, you can put them in. You know?
Okay.
And if you've been married before, there's going to be obviously money that has to be separated.
Yeah. It's just, I wasn't sure if there was like maybe a way, cause you know, some people have like the prenup and all that, but you know, if there is some kind of a divorce or something that comes along, I didn't know if it could be, cause I know annuities are a little bit different. Those are all in, you know, set them up in trusts and things like that, but which we'll get to in a second, but for life settlements, I just wasn't sure if there was, you know, a way that people could protect themselves just in
case.
They
can put it in the will. They can have a contract drawn up between them. They can do a trust. The main thing is most people, if they had gotten a divorce earlier or the husband or wife had died, they've got children, so they're going to provide for the children either in a will or a trust for their family that was there before you. And you should always. You don't wait till after someone passes on and say, well, these are my children. These funds should go to my children. You need to always have that ironed out in advance. Otherwise, there's going to be some fighting and bad feelings. And you don't want to have bad feelings with your new husband.
No.
So the way to always handle that is have it in writing. My child gets this. Your child gets that. And I get this. Where they know that your children are not getting everything, that your new wife gets part of it.
Okay. With annuities, how do annuities work if the same situation were to arise? A divorce?
Well, annuities, you've told in the annuity who gets what. You said, okay, my child by former marriage gets this. My wife gets this. And you list all this. Who gets it, who they are.
Okay.
And if you need to change anything, you need to change it before you die. You don't want to put it off and put it off and say, well, you know, I was going to change that. Maybe they'll know what I was talking about. No, they won't, unless you write it out in writing.
Yeah. I know that it seems like maybe some people might have the impression that annuities are etched in stone and they can't be changed, but they can be updated pretty much at any time. And I know that you've kind of stressed.
That's right. As long as you've got your facilities and you're not in a nursing home, you can make changes.
Yeah.
But if you suddenly are ill in the head, you cannot make changes.
Oh, okay.
No, you can't. Because if you're incapacitated, you can't write your name on something.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean, they don't even know what you're talking about, and neither do they.
Exactly. Things get a little bit confusing and maybe lost in translation, for lack of a better way to put it.
But that's why when you're doing annuities, you can only do them up to a certain age, because they might misinterpret it. What you're saying after a certain age, and you can't do that. They've got to be smart. They've got to know what they're doing, and they can't be 85, 90 years old. It's forbidden.
What is the cutoff for an annuity?
Well, a lot of ours is 80.
Okay.
And you can't do the index builder like we love if you're 80 or older.
If people are already in an annuity, say somebody opens...
That's fine.
Okay, then you're okay. All right.
Yeah, if you took it out when you're 75, 78, 80, but the rules change after that.
Okay. All right. So I guess the thing that I'm trying to get at is that we talk about like beneficiaries all the time. We talk about how if there's a falling out in the family, you know, the kids, you know, do something or whatever, you can always change it. I guess I've never actually thought about if there's a falling out between a husband and wife. I've just always assumed it was kids and you could change beneficiaries and things like that. But the same
and
thing
they
applies.
Can change it, but usually if it's a joint policy, it'll have to be a unanimous decision.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
If it's just single, you can do anything you want.
Yeah. So I guess without really trying to, or without planning it out, I guess today's theme, I guess, is really all about kind of protecting yourself and your family and who gets what in case something were to happen. We usually relate it to, something like maybe a death in the family, but, not really considering things of if both parties are still alive, there's a divorce or something like that. So I guess just knowing that, those things can be changed, people don't have to necessarily worry about, oh, once I lock in my annuity, then that's it for life. You can make changes all day, every day for anything that you
Yes,
want
it
to.
doesn't matter. If your name's on it, you can change it.
Okay. All right.
And if you're a beneficiary, you have no choice. It's the owner of the policy that calls the shots.
And that can't be contested in court, right? If there's somebody, if there's a.
It'd be very, very hard to do.
All right. All right.
And a child cannot take out an annuity by itself. We have to put an adult on there to protect them.
We're talking about under 18, right?
Yes,
Okay.
like a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, that's what I'm
A
talking about.
9-year-old.
Yeah.
A 9-year-old's going to call you on Monday and say, "Hey, Faye."
I want an annuity, yeah.
That'd
But
be something.
I did that one whole family, years ago. And I had to put somebody's name on it, but with them as a beneficiary.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then the beneficiary has to do what you say.
So, our
If you're
annuities.
18, you can do it all by yourself. You don't need an adult on it.
I don't know. Is it advisable or recommended or common? I don't know which way to angle this, but is it normal for somebody who maybe is 20 to open an annuity because maybe they're just getting into the workforce, they want to start out early, they're super responsible and want to start an early
Usually, at that age, the parent will do it for them to get them started. And, say, let's talk to Faye about an annuity for you, to get them started. Because 20-year-olds don't usually think about anything like that. They think about a girlfriend, a new car, going to the movies, and going to Vegas. So it usually is an adult, a grandparent, or a parent that says, let's go over and talk to her.
Okay. All right. What would be and there may not even be one. Is because I know during the people's life, their investment career, their career span itself, we talk sometimes about, people maybe in their 40s, 50s doing a life settlement, closer to retirement, switching over to annuities. Is there any age that might be too young to start your own annuity, or can you just do it at any
No,
time?
never.
Okay.
An annuity is a long-term investment. It's for you when you're working, when you're retired. Almost any time is annuity time. And annuities are safe. They pay more than CDs at the bank, a lot more. And you get your interest at the end of every year. And right now, you get the bonuses for signing up, and you get the 16%, which is great. And that's in addition to what you make that first year. And let's say you've got more than one investment you want to move to us. Well, the second year, you put the same amount in. And when you do, they'll give you a bonus again. You can get a bonus for 3 years. And that is in addition to what it makes. Has nothing to do with what the profit is every year. So that really gets you started in a big way. And a lot of people, let's say they got a big oil check. They'll put it in an annuity where it'll be safe and it'll pay them for years to come. And it always pays a lot more than a CD.
Is the bonus 16% or 17?
Well, it's really 17, and that's just what, last 3 weeks?
I think so. Yeah, it's fairly
I
new.
think it is, yeah. And I'm still quoting 16. Rather than the 17, it's so new. that I haven't been saying the 17.
Well, you know, it seems like one of those things that it's almost, I don't want to say it defies logic, but, you know, we were all excited when the bonuses were 14%. And then
I know. And we thought they were going to change last year and cut them out.
Yeah.
And thank goodness they didn't. And now they've raised it once more time, which is really great. And it just gets you started really in a big way, because you get that bonus and then whatever it makes that year. And then you've already got a lot of interest in your account after the first year. So that is really great. And annuities are going to last as long as you need them, as long as you're alive, really. So it's not a quick deal. And it's not like a bond. You know, a bond works a lot different. And bonds can go down depending on what the stock market does. And I had somebody mention that to me again this week, and I always forget about bonds and how they work. And if you can do an IRA, you can do a Roth IRA, you can do a joint one with your wife. There's many, many things annuities do. And, you know, this annuity company is 100 years old. They're worth $60 billion.
Wow.
And that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
And when you die, your wife can get it immediately. I used to represent some companies that even when you died, you couldn't get a check all at once. You had to take a 5-year payout after you died.
Really?
You do not have to take a payout. You can get a lump sum.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was a payout.
Yeah. Well, yeah, whatever it's worth. Some companies will make you take a payout. And this company does not. You can get a check in about 12 days because you've got to get the death certificate to send to them. Once you've got the death certificate, it's easy. They pay like a slot machine. We've had a lot of maturities over the years.
Nice.
And everybody always got their money. And lots of times the wife doesn't want to cash it in. So she's going to keep it and just keep drawing money because she needs the monthly income rather than, you know, lump sum once a year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know you've said a couple of times there have been some people in the past who have, you know, say the husband passes away and then the wife will come over and she'll want to get out and go into something else. Because somebody will usually call with some kind of a shiny object and they'll say something like, oh, hey, come over here. Big profits. Ooh.
Well, usually it's a man. Some man will call him, knows that her husband's just died. He's going in for the kill, and he figures he can get the business.
Yeah.
And lots of times they paint this rosy picture that's going to be better, and I don't believe that. Because, you know, we've been doing this 23 years.
Wow.
And we know a lot about annuities. And we've learned a lot about life settlements. And I've got a lot of people who've made a lot of money. Some haven't made as much. Some have gotten old and want to go to annuities from their life settlements. And some have just stayed in life settlements.
Yeah. Whatever people are doing or what their goals are or wherever they are in their, I guess, financial career, investment career, if they're coming up within a 5 years of retirement, there are conservative ways to invest. And it's just like you said, the people who have been most invested and diverse and, you know, heavily active are the ones that have made the most money. And it just pays out time and time again. And you've got the historical data to prove it. So,
and you know, annuities are diversified, very diversified. And the other thing is if the stock market goes down, the annuity just sits there. It doesn't ever go down. And your money is always safe. The money's guaranteed by contract. And we've never had anybody that was unhappy the way it worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just, I don't know. It just, I guess when people start, you know, thinking about, okay, if you want to go and do stock market, or if you want to go and play Vegas or whatever, go for it. Yeah. But it's always usually a good idea to have something in some kind of conservative investment just in case, because you don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry about market conditions. You don't have to worry about any kind of external anything. You're still growing money. And so that's really the important part. So,
and you know, annuities, they don't tax you till you take it out.
Oh yeah.
And that's really good. And then when you get to a certain age, like 73, then you have to start taking RMD. But there's ways to decrease that too. And it's compound interest. There's just so many good things about annuities. I don't know anything negative, because you can have it your way.
Yeah. And with it being so diversified, and they're always making changes or evaluating what's available.
And they're improving them all the time.
Exactly.
Because when I started in this business 23 years ago, it was just a fixed rate. I mean, that's what you got. And they'd say, okay, today we're paying 4%, or we're paying 4.5%, or maybe 5%, whatever it was. It was a fixed rate, and that's what you got.
Yeah.
And everybody's annuities have increased a lot over the years. And we're doing a better job on them all the time.
It just almost seems like annuities are super boring, but super profitable. And that's all
that's
that matters.
Right. That's all that matters is they pay, and they pay well. And you can take money out when you need it after the first year.
Yeah.
But I don't have anybody that starts that. Most people 2 or 3 years before they even start. So they've earned a lot more interest before they start drawing down.
Yeah.
And I've had people that drew too much, and they said, Faye, from now on, we've got to take like 40,000 out, or 30, but not 60.
Yeah.
And they find out they don't need that much to live on. So they want more interest. And then you take life settlements. They make more than annuities, but it's for a younger person, really, about 76. Is about where people quit doing annuities.
Yeah.
Or 77.
Life settlements.
They start doing annuities and quit doing life settlements. Hope I said that right.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, okay. And what happens is life settlements will pay 25, 30. We've had some lately pay 45. But it usually takes a year to 2 years. Most in a life settlement will be 27 months, 30 months. And we buy those and people are dying of cancer. And we're bidding on one now that is a breast cancer. And I think it's going to pay 30%.
Oh, wow.
But we've done more breast cancer policies, I think, than anything we've done. They've been very successful. We've never had one that didn't pay on time. I don't think I've ever had one go over. A lot of the others can go over, and they do go over. But this one is, you know, like this one we're bidding on. She had breast cancer like in 2018, and they took both breasts off. It's supposed to be over. And that dadgum thing has come back with a vengeance.
Ooh.
It's in her liver now. It's everywhere.
Oh, man.
And that's a remarkable deal for them to have taken the breast off, and it still came back.
Yeah.
So that tells you it was already in the lymph nodes when they operated, and it took a while, but now it's come back in 4 or 5 places.
Wow.
And you say, don't have a prayer when it comes to that.
Oh, no, no. That's, I mean, we all know far too common how those usually turn out. So, and you say you're bidding on that one?
We're bidding on it. It's $2 million, and we're doing some others. I don't know how they'll turn out, and I don't remember yet what brand they are, but that's what we do. We buy policies from somebody that's really got bad cancer, and then our investors invest in it. They know going in what the premium will be, they know what the profit is, they know how long it is, and then when it matures, they get paid. And of course, you must be accredited to do that. So that means you must make $200,000, or you must be worth $1 million. Without your home, you can't include your home in your financials. And then the risk is it could go over, and you have to know that. And the other thing is, you must be accredited. You don't get paid until it matures. It's not like a CD that you get paid every 6 months or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But it pays better than one, and it makes more money. And I would recommend it highly.
Yeah, it's just people really with life settlements. It's all about the waiting game. It's not necessarily something that, you have a general idea when they think the policy will mature, but it may not be on that exact day. It may be, you know, like you say, a little bit before, a little bit after. But the goal is to get short-term policies. You're not talking about policies that are like going to expire in 20 years, which is the whole point.
No.
So.
And, you know, when we started, we were innocent as a lamb, and we didn't know how long you should have them. We didn't know how much premium you could pay. But we know all that now. We've learned a lot over the years. And the last four that just came in, all of them but one came in early.
Yeah. So
and
I would
say paid 45. You know that.
Good Lord. Yes, that's a lot. I mean, my gosh.
It is, I think.
Yeah. When you start having, you know, profit margins of, you know, 45%, I mean, it's just 30 is fantastic. But you start getting into the 40s and now you're talking about big money in a hurry. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday at this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Wally Funk. I don't know if you've ever heard of Wally Funk. She's a girl. Her name is really Mary Wallace Funk. And she was born in 1939, February 1st. And she just died this month.
Oh, wow.
And her story was so interesting. I picked it up and read it, and I said, I want to do that. Wally Funk was an American aviator, a commercial astronaut, a goodwill ambassador. She was the first female air safety investigator for the National Transportation Safety Board. She was the first female civilian flight instructor at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, the first female Federal Aviation Administrator inspector, as well as the Mercury 13 group.
Oh, wow.
And she was born, as I said, February 1st, 1939. And her story is so great. Her parents owned a variety store. The family had a collection of artwork from the Taos Art Colony. And the artists would trade pay artwork to take care of their debts. And they always had debts back then. And she was an only child, as far as I can tell. She was captivated by planes. When she was 1 year old, her parents took her to an airport near where they lived. And she got up close to a Douglas DC-3. And I go right to the wheel and I try to turn the nut, she said. She recalled in the interview, Mother said she's going to fly. She became interested in mechanics and she built airplanes. By the time she was 7 years old, she could make a plane from balsa wood. And at nine, she had her first flying lesson. Can you imagine?
At nine?
Yes. At 9 years old.
Wow.
When she was 14, she got her pilot's license.
Whoa.
That's how smart this woman was.
Oh,
I was
word.
So impressed by her story. She was an accomplished outdoor woman. She spent time riding her bike, her horse, skiing, hunting, and fishing. At 14, she became an expert marksman. She received the Distinguished Rifleman's Award. The National Rifle Association of America sent her a shooting results to President Dwight Eisenhower.
Ooh, wow.
And he wrote back to her. And at the same time, she represented Southwestern United States as a top female skier and downhill racing in the U.S. competition at 14.
Wow.
So, I mean, this lady is so brilliant. And then as a high school student, she wanted to take courses in mechanical drawing, auto mechanics, but she was a girl. They said, only thing you can take is home economics.
Oh,
and she was frustrated. And at the age of 16, she quit high school. And she went to college at Stephenville College in Columbia, Missouri at 14 and 16.
Wow.
She became a member of the Flying Susies. and rated first in her class of 24. She graduated in 1958 with her pilot license and an Associate of Arts degree. And so then she wanted to complete a Bachelor of Science in Secondary Education at Oklahoma State. So while at SU, she was a member of Alpha Chi Omega, Gamma Epsilon Chapter 3, and a large number of aviation certificates and rating, including her commercial, her single engine, land, multi-engine land, single engine sea, everything she could get, she took the course. She was flight instructor and a ground instructor rated. She was elected as an officer of the Flying Aggies and flew for them in an international collegiate air meet. She received Outstanding Female Pilot Trophy, the Flying Aggies Pilot, and the Alfred Adler Memorial Trophy, 2 years in a row. So here she is at 20 years old. She became a professional avitator. Her first job was at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, as a civilian flight instructor for non-commissioned and commissioned officers of the United States Army.
Wow.
She was the first female flight instructor at a U.S. military base. First female flight instructor. In the fall of 1961, she took a job as a certified flight instructor, charter, and chief pilot with an aviation company in Hawthorne, California. So she became a flight instructor and chief pilot. She earned the airline transport rating in 1968. She's the 58th woman in the U.S. to do so. She applied to three commercial airlines, like other qualified female pilots. They turned her down, wouldn't let her fly for them.
Really?
I mean, that's right. And she had every degree, was certified in 10 types of planes, and they wouldn't take her.
Wow.
She was 20 years old.
Jeez.
And then in 1971, she earned the rating of flight instructor and inspector from the Federal Aviation Administration. And she's the first woman to complete the FAA's General Aviation Operator Inspector and include a pilot certification, flight testing procedures, handling accidents, and violation of the government. She worked for 4 years with the FAA as a flight examiner. She's the first woman in 1973 who was promoted to FFA Systems Worthiness Analysis Program as a specialist. So her first woman in the United States to hold that position. In late November of 73, she again entered the FFA Academy, taking courses involved in air taxi charter and aviation rental business. And they would let her do all this other, but she couldn't fly an airplane for anybody, nobody to hire. And she's still real young, as you can tell.
Yeah. How cool. Really,
she
really
is
cool.
A very cool person.
Yeah.
And, you know, she never married. I think it's because she'd rather fly than get married. That's what I think about her.
She was married to her work.
She really was. And Grapevine, Texas really celebrated this last week, her death, because they all knew her so well. And I knew what all she'd accomplished, and all odds against her at all times.
Yeah, I'm surprised that more. It's one of those names that I think probably more people should know. They do now, but I wonder now that she passed away. I wonder if there'll be, you know, more things about her, specials, statues, something.
I think so, and it's amazing to me that a 9-year-old could take a flying lesson.
I know it.
You know?
I was barely riding a bike.
That was me. And, you know, at 7, she was building airplanes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from the time she was 1, you know, that first airplane, when she was 1 year old, she wanted to touch it and do things to it right then. And her mother said she's going to fly.
Yeah. Clearly, she knew her passion. She knew her life's calling before she even had any idea what a life's calling was.
That's right.
And then to get turned down because she didn't have an engineering degree, but she had all this experience. So I don't know. It just doesn't seem quite right. But she found ways around it, which was really cool. So.
She really did. And they put Flying Aggie, Wally Funk finally goes to space. It's what they said.
Wow.
I mean, you can imagine at 82, I mean, she had a few words to say.
Yeah. After hearing everything that she's done in her life, I kind of look back over mine and I'm thinking, yeah, what have you done?
Yeah. Did you do anything spectacular?
Not that cool.
You know what she did for fun?
What?
She restored antique cars.
Wow.
And she had a 1951 Hooper Silver Wrath.
Oh, geez.
Can you imagine? And she flew every Saturday.
Wow. She did things that I just wish I could do.
She did things I can't even imagine doing, but would have loved to. Had the guts to do something, you know.
I know it. She had a fulfilling life, that's for sure. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Okay, so I know we're about time to wrap up here, but the policy that you were talking about that you're bidding on, you're still bidding on it. It is not being filled yet.
No, we're bidding on it. We do not have it bought yet. We're working on that.
Okay. Any idea, a couple weeks maybe, do you think you'll know more? Or
oh, yeah, I'll know in 2 weeks. And you know that one the other day, we had to cancel, and we were just fixing to fund it, and we found out the company that was selling it to us had missed something, and they were honest. They called us and told us. But we already had the money in the account ready to fund.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
And that's really disappointing. I know they were all disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. But I know that this policy that you're bidding on now, the way you were talking about it before, that's going to be one of those that I have a feeling is probably going to fill pretty quick.
I think it will, because it's a darn good policy. The profit's there. Everything seems to be all right.
Cool. All right. Well,
so I think it will be good.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people anxious for that one. So we'll have some more updates in the next couple of weeks on that, how that's going. So, all right. For anybody who is interested, maybe, I don't know, getting into life settlements, maybe we spend a lot of time talking about the great things about annuities. Anybody who's interested in either one of those, anything that's kind of conservative, you know, it's always great to have a backup plan if you're in the stock market in case something happens, or you just want to make sure that you've got something when you retire so that you can go on with a good quality life afterwards. This is the way to go. So for that to happen, people do need to call and make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.